becoming the New Jerusalem. We will see eventually when we come to the depths of the burden in this message that the New Jerusalem is not a place. It was made clear in the last part of the message this afternoon that the New Jerusalem is a corporate person. But we need to realize this corporate person is the bride who will become the wife of the Lamb. And that is why there's this verse in Revelation 19, verse 7, which, in my realization, is one of the most uplifting and marvelous verses in the book of Revelation. Let us rejoice and exult and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And then we know from verses in Revelation 21 that the Bible is clearly telling us that the New Jerusalem is not a place. It's not something we're going to. It's something we are becoming. And we have a choice. Not if we will become the New Jerusalem, but when. And we will find out, based directly from the Lord speaking through the Apostle John, that it will be the overcoming saints in the recovered church, typified by Philadelphia. That is a genuine local church. So I'll put it this way. Anyone who is overcoming, as he is part of a local church life, he is in the process, or she is, of becoming the New Jerusalem. But as things are now, a large number of dear saints are far from that development. And that is why the Lord wants to enlighten us, to supply us, to shepherd us, to guide us, that we may know the way He has ordained for us to become the New Jerusalem in this age. The fact is that all the believers over the last 2,000 years, they will eventually become the New Jerusalem. During the 1,000 years of the kingdom, and during that period of time, the first manifestation of the New Jerusalem will take place. And so the New Jerusalem is the bride, the wife of the redeeming God. And to confirm this, we read from Revelation 21, a part of verse 9 and verse 10. An angel is speaking to John. Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And so obviously he expects to see a female, a bride, a wife of the Lamb, the redeeming God. And he carried me away in spirit unto a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So you put these two verses together, the New Jerusalem is the bride, the wife who has made herself ready. And we may also say, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And what you see is what apparently is a city. These are signs. This is significant, pointing to the kingdom. But what we're endeavoring to say is that the New Jerusalem, a corporate person, will first be the bride who has made herself ready. And the saints that have gone through a process, and we will end the message with a particular way that shows us the unique way, the only way arranged by God for us to become organically the New Jerusalem, little by little, day by day. This is the way the Lord has opened it up for us. But since we are making it clear that the New Jerusalem is the bride, the wife of the Lamb, I just want to briefly point out some of the characteristics of the bride. The Lord knows I've had conferences just on this matter, on the bride preparing herself. But here are some of the characteristics. She is mature, fully developed, as we've been emphasizing recently. She entered into the realm of maturity years and years before. And now she is mature to the full extent. And then she is part of a building, a corporate building. And her garment is composed of what's called righteousnesses. This is her daily God-man living, in which the Spirit within her, supplying her with life and everything, is expressed in her daily living by so many actions that are called righteousnesses. And these righteousnesses produce her wedding gown. And then also, she is beautiful. And she'll be beautified by the beauty of Christ Himself reproduced in her. And then one aspect, the Lord is really looking for this in His bride. Are you an experienced warrior in spiritual warfare? Because I'm going to take you on a trip. I wouldn't say it's a honeymoon, but we're going to go to Armageddon after we began our wedding feast. And don't worry, but your uniform, your wedding dress will be your uniform. But we should take this seriously. And that is why some saints, they're mainly in Europe, they just asked if there could be a series of meetings once a month just to have fellowship about engaging in spiritual warfare. But the final aspect that I would point out is she has to be deified. Her husband is the process and consummated triune God. And surely she has to be his counterpart with his life and nature, but not in the Godhead. And so becoming the New Jerusalem equals becoming the bride. And so, when it comes to becoming, this is what we'll consider a little later in the outline. But the burden and what is in the Lord's heart is that He wants to open the way for us, that in our daily living, humanly and spiritually, we can be in the process of becoming the New Jerusalem. That is, becoming the bride, growing to maturity, being built up, all the characteristics. So I'm observant of the time, and the burden is in the latter part of the outline. It's something of utmost importance, and we will be focused then on what Brother Lee accurately called the most difficult verse, probably throughout the New Testament. And the only way to understand this verse is through experience. And we'll explain this, but it's trying to give you an overview of where we're going. Then once we've considered that, then we'll just make a final turn as we end the message and are approaching the end of the training. The Lord will show us His unique way for all of this to be worked out in all of us. One, for our Christian life and church life, we need to have a vision of the New Jerusalem. So a brief comment on the word vision. It's not the same thing as, oh, I learned something. Very good, this is how it starts. But that is not a vision. A vision is an extraordinary scene. And it involves revelation, light, and sight, spiritually speaking. So the revelation is the lifting of the veil. Then the light is shining. And then, according to Ephesians chapter 1 in that prayer, our spiritual eyes are enlightened that we may see. And then we will realize that if we have a genuine vision, it will govern us. It will direct us. It will guide us. And it will give us the boldness to press on. And I'm just reminded of that word spoken last Saturday at the graduation about running the race, finish the course. In that verse from Micah, do not rejoice against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will rise up. So when you have this vision, even if you get knocked down by the enemy who's trying to interfere, there's something in you that's motivating you, that empowers you, and you get up and press on until we all arrive. The New Jerusalem is a composition of divinity and humanity mingled, blended, and built up together as one entity. All the components have the same life, nature, and constitution, and thus are a corporate person. Obviously, the Lord is going to marry a person who matches Him in every way except He has the Godhead. So He became man, and we're going to become God. The New Jerusalem is the consummation of the entire vision of God's economy and of the high peak of the divine revelation. The New Jerusalem, the ultimate consummation of the Bible, involves God becoming man and man becoming God in life, in nature, but not in the Godhead. Here we have the high peak of the divine revelation applied again in becoming the Lord's counterpart. In Christ, God has become man to make man God in his life and in his nature, so that the redeeming God and the redeemed man can be mingled, constituted together to be one entity, the New Jerusalem. Eventually, the triune eternal God becomes the New Jerusalem, incorporated with all of us. And we also become the New Jerusalem through the process of God's organic salvation. To the New Jerusalem is a composition of God's chosen, redeemed, regenerated, sanctified, renewed, transformed, conformed, and glorified people who have been deified. Let me read this again, and when I pause, say amen. The New Jerusalem is a composition of God's chosen,
amen.
Redeemed,
amen.
Regenerated,
amen.
Sanctified,
amen.
Renewed,
amen.
Transformed,
amen.
Conformed,
amen.
And glorified people,
amen.
Who have been deified.
Amen.
That's you.
Amen.
That's us.
Amen.
It's happening.
Amen.
Yes. For us to be deified means that we are being constituted with the processed and consummated triune God, so that we may be made God in life and nature, to be his corporate expression for eternity. The deification of the believers is a process that will consummate in the New Jerusalem. This is the highest truth and the highest gospel. So as we're in this process of becoming the New Jerusalem, the goal will be deification. So the New Jerusalem is the corporate God-man, the enlargement, expansion, and expression of God, the corporate God. I admit that's an unusual expression. The Godhead is unchanging. He's immutable. We're talking about the processed and consummated triune God and his humanity dispensed and mingled with redeemed, regenerated human beings. So in this sense, we are a corporate God because this is a large group of God-men who have been born of God. We have the life and nature of God. And so we're a corporate God in this particular way. The New Jerusalem is the expansion and expression of the processed and consummated triune God with his built-up people. The New Jerusalem is God's enlargement and expansion, God's expression in eternity, which is the corporate God. So this is the objective basis to see that the experience, the becoming, is based upon the vision, and the vision is the result of revelation, light, and sight. So now we turn to something very endearing. The New Jerusalem is the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the holy city, Jerusalem. The Apostle John saw the holy city prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, when this wedding meeting takes place, I've mentioned this before, of course, will be altogether different from the usual kind of wedding meeting. Because here you have the man who will be the husband. He's just standing here. No one really much cares about him. But there she is at the end. And often, but not always, is being brought here by her father. And everyone is standing up and looking at her and at her wedding gown. And they're so surprised, so impressed. Not much care for, you know, the one she's going to marry. But it's going to be the opposite. It is the bride taking the lead to give glory to our husband. And we are waiting for him. He's been waiting for us to be mature and ready. And now the Lord knows right now there are hundreds of hearts at this very moment are just yearning and waiting for him to come. And he will come when the bride has made herself ready. He will come when a sufficient number of brothers and sisters in the churches have become the New Jerusalem. Then he will know when everything is ready, there is sufficient number of overcoming ones, then there will be a corporate rapture. We sure want to be there. But we're now here in this stage of realizing the New Jerusalem is the bride. So this involves our deep participation continuously in the divine romance. I would recommend to the recently graduated trainees, just see if you could read Song of Songs just once every month. There was a period of time where I just had the feeling to read it once a week for years, to realize that it will come to this point, there will be a reproduction of Solomon who typifies Christ. And the reproduction is Shulamite. And she is the best, you could say, symbol of the bride who has made herself ready. And so no one, I would not try by speaking or anything else to try to stir up within you the sense of divine romance. But I remember, some of you have heard this before, others have not, when Brother Lee began his first semi-annual life study training, it had to be in December of 1974. And he was about to begin with Romans, but he didn't start speaking about Romans. He said the Bible is a record of the divine romance. And those who really want to have an intrinsic realization and experience of the ministry of this age, you need to realize it's based upon a divine romance. And so our becoming the New Jerusalem is a marvelous result of our living stage after stage in this wife of pursuing the Lord in a loving and endearing way. The Apostle John saw the holy city prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. You know, I think there's still a magazine, you know, like it's just about the bride, right? I don't know, there's one about the the one for the one she's going to marry. Nobody cares. But here, the bride is adorned for her husband. The Lord wants to beautify you in Christ, glorify you in Christ. For the Lord, for your husband to be. Not for you to be outstanding, but for you to be part of the bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem is a bride, indicating that she is not a material city, but a corporate person for God's satisfaction. As the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem is Christ's eternal counterpart. We're going to get married and live married forever. I don't know if there'll be time in the new heaven and the new earth after we've been married for 17 billion years, if there's such a time frame. Our husband will point out, oh, we're just getting started. This is infinite. This is eternal. We're married forever. My wife is a corporate person constituted by millions of mature, redeemed human beings. Exactly like me in every way, except they know I'm God in the Godhead. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate consummation of the divine romance, a universal couple, a loving pair eternally. I don't really like, and I don't have much feeling to share something personal about composing hymns. But around 1970, I just asked the Lord, and there was a certain melody. Lord, would you please lead me to write a hymn according to this melody? And certain things took place until it came. And that was the hymn about Jesus, Lord, I'm captured by thy beauty. That we just want to sing and rejoice with our lovely bridegroom and bride-to-be. That, okay, you can still be a strong guy, tough guy when you were young, you would never back down from a fist fight. Well, but you're going to, eventually, brothers, you're going to have to get used to being part of a wife. And the man, the bride, is the husband. The subject of the Bible is a divine romance of a universal couple. So because this is a training, not a conference, I gently ask you, but not to answer to me, how romantic are you in your relationship with the Lord? And don't examine yourself and don't criticize yourself. Just offer a simple prayer. Lord, bring me into living in the divine romance all the days of my life. And I say, Lord, I love you. It's not just a superficial expression. I love you in the divine romance. I'll pour out my whole being upon you and for you. Because I love you. And I'm just awaiting for the wedding day. What a happy time that will be. Two, that divine romance is portrayed poetically in Song of Songs. The seeker passes through a process to become the Shulamite, the duplication of Solomon and a figure of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem will be a corporate Shulamite, including all of God's chosen and redeemed people. And so wherever you are in reading through Song of Songs, please realize these two things. On the one hand, it's a straight line beginning in chapter 1 with a kiss. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. No, it's not a peck on the cheek. On my mouth. This is a romantic kiss. And then she went through so many stages. And in chapter 8, she indicates, I just long to be brought out of this old body, to be transfigured. When I see you, I will kiss you. It began with a kiss. It will consummate with a kiss. But at the same time, this is a cycle. So don't worry about where you are. If the Lord would say, oh, my dear, you're like a mare pulling Pharaoh's chariot. You know, don't go crying home saying, he told me I'm a mare. No, because if it's spoken in love, it will never bother you. And before long, he would say, hi, Lily. Huh? Yes. Your faith is developing. And then he has a way of letting you know where you are. Three, Christ's exposal in marriage life cover the church life, the kingdom age, the church age, the kingdom age, and the eternal age. In the church age, we are betrothed to Christ, so we're all engaged. And that's a very delightful thing. Whenever I get an email and a happy just a happy announcement, and there's the usual picture, right? They're close to each other, and she has her hand maybe right on his chest to show this kind of metallic circular thing with some kind of stone on top. It's a delightful thing. And to realize God the Father is the source of this endearing relationship. And so we're engaged. We're engaged to Christ. The wedding day will be the age of the millennial kingdom. We want to be there for the wedding day. See, the marriage life will be in the New Jerusalem eternally. For the New Jerusalem will be the bride in the millennium for 1,000 years as one day. And then the wife in the new heaven and new earth for eternity. The bride in the millennium will include only the overcoming saints. And there's the verse, Revelation 3:2. We'll come to that. But this should just give us some serious thought. It doesn't just happen. It's what we become during our journey on the earth. in our personal life with the Lord and with our corporate church life, whether or not we will be among the overcoming saints. There'll be the bride in the millennium. The wife in the new heaven and new earth will include all the redeemed and regenerated sons of God. So eventually, all the saved ones will be part of the New Jerusalem, will be part of his wife. See, Revelation 22:17 indicates that Christ and the New Jerusalem, as his wife, will be a universal couple for eternity. Amen. The Spirit, who is the totality of the process triune God, becomes one with the believers who are now fully matured to be his bride. Fully matured. The consummation of the process triune God and the consummation of God's chosen, redeemed, regenerated, and transformed people will be one and will be a universal couple expressing the triune God for eternity. Amen. So now we're making a major turn with point D. That will be the segue, will be the way to change into the following section where the burden really is. The overcomers in the recovered church will be the New Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom. So it is the overcomers, and that is those who have been overcoming. We'll see why there's a, in writing, Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord uses a gerund. A verb is used as a noun, and that noun ends with ing, like running. He's always running. When someone say, running is so good for your health. But we'll come back to that. But there will be the overcoming ones in the recovered church. So it's not everyone who's in a local church in a particular way. They're in the local church, but in an overcoming way. And here I do have the sense to share something that took place in a Thursday morning fellowship time with those serving full-time with him and so many volunteers in helping to package the books and to do so many practical things. And Brother Lee would have a time of fellowship with us. And one morning, he was just open for questions and response. And I had a sincere matter to bring up, and I knew I could with him. And I said, Brother Lee, please help me understand something. Why, as I'm sitting in the meeting, on the Lord's Day morning meeting here in Anaheim, I have the feeling that I'm sitting in a Sunday morning meeting in the Presbyterian denomination. Why do I feel this way? Then Brother Lee received that. Then he shared various crucial points. And then the Lord knows, I'm not exaggerating, he said, Ron, is correct. Because we may be truly in a recovered church, but there's variations, but some have a large characteristic of Laodicea: lukewarm, formal, prayer meeting. Many of the prayers are not prayers. Prophesying meeting. Most of the speaking was not prophesying. It's speaking. But if we don't realize the condition, it's hard to overcome. But regardless of what is the condition of a genuine local church, we are there in a positive way. Altogether in a positive way. But we realize, I cannot be lukewarm. I will not be. While I'm here, Lord, I want to advance with you for what is on your heart. So this is what motivates the overcomers in the recovered church. And now here is the key point. Because the overcomers, those who overcome in particular situations, they will receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And they will enjoy that reward during the millennial kingdom. But here is a governing principle. What we are now will be what we are then. In other words, one who is overcoming in a particular way, then that's what he will be in the coming kingdom. For instance, the Lord said to the church in Ephesus, he who overcomes will have the right to partake of the tree of life. He or she will enjoy the tree of life for 1,000 years. But we shouldn't think, well, they were not enjoying the tree of life at all. They had to wait for another age. No. This is what you are experiencing now. This is what you are now. And that is what you will be then. And so we should have the thought that when the Lord comes, that we'll just be, in a marvelous way, we'll just be everything fine, glorified. We will be just what we are. And that is why, in the context of the church life, we want to be now what we hope to be then. And we're coming to the point that we want to be an overcoming one who is being built up into the temple of God. We'll be a pillar in the temple of God. And then we'll see a little later that the Lord will write upon the name of this person, the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, his new name. And these are all designations of overcoming saints in the church life who became the New Jerusalem during their journey on the earth. And now will be part of the manifestation of the New Jerusalem as the bride of the redeeming God in the millennium. This is why we have to pay attention to where we are now. And who and what we are now. And to what extent are we growing, developing now? And there's just a nonstop burden just to help the saints to be encouraged and supplied to go on from wherever you are. So now we need to look into these crucial points based upon this verse. Chapter 3, verse 12, the first part and the latter part. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the New Jerusalem, which descends out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Amen. And Brother Lee, in studying this, he pointed out, because I learned this from him, it's in the Word, I'm ministering the Word, but I honor the source of my learning. And that is, an overcomer, the Lord will make a pillar in the temple of God. And to the overcomer, he will write upon him three wonderful names. I just mentioned them. God, the New Jerusalem, the Lord's new name. And from what I've been studying in my prior research, there's no Bible scholar that we have found who understands this verse. I'm not going to name the person. He's one of these huge churches, mega church, here in Southern California. He and I are about the same age. I find it quite interesting how we will both end our journey. He's highly regarded. He's written so many books, studying all kinds of Bible books. He has a Bible, a study Bible with his name on it, so-and-so study Bible. But when he came to this verse, he said, oh, the names are on there. That just means, that just indicates you just belong to God. Like you bought a little booklet of the outlines, and you put your name in it. You think that's all it is. You belong to God. You belong to the New Jerusalem, whatever it is. But that isn't what this verse is revealing. The verse is identifying what you have become. You have become the pillar, a pillar, in the temple of God. We'll read shortly this part of the outline. But then you go to chapter 21 and you read verse 23. There is no temple in the New Jerusalem. God and His Son are the temple. So to be built, to be made, the pillar in the temple is to be built into the triune God. Just to be there as a pillar, unshakable. It's just taking place. and sisters just as much as brothers. So the Lord is making us something. Instead of just doing things that we would like, He wants to make us something we could never be on our own. And then we will come to the section on writing the names. We will see, is it writing just to identify it? This is what you call it? No, it is to designate what this person is. You have the name inscribed unto you, the name of God, because you are God in life and nature. And the name of the New Jerusalem is inscribed unto you because you have become a part of the New Jerusalem. You are right now in the context of your church life. And my new name, this is from your experience and enjoyment of me. These names are on you because this is the result of my working and building myself into you to make you this kind of person. This is the nature, the characteristic of those living an overcoming life in a genuine local church that is signified by the church in Philadelphia, the recovered church. So let's look into this through section 3 now. The Lord Jesus will make the overcoming one in the recovered church a pillar built into the temple of God, which is the triune God Himself. In Revelation 21:22, we see that in the New Jerusalem, the triune God Himself will be the temple. So only the Lord knows who among us and elsewhere is in the process of being built into a temple. Surely this is taking place in the lives of many. And many may not be able to identify what's going on. They just sense something is going on. And you need the Lord's word to shine on you to realize you're in the process. You're becoming a temple. You're being built into the triune God to be part of the New Jerusalem. And this is happening now. And this is what you will be in the 1,000 years. Just press on, dear one. So in Revelation 21:22, we see that the New Jerusalem, the triune God Himself, will be the temple. For the overcomer to be a pillar in the temple means that he will be a pillar in the triune God. This involves being mingled with the triune God and constituted with the triune God. The only way to understand this part of Revelation 3:12 and the other part is by experience. It's when we have the experience, then when we come to this word, it begins to shine in us to realize, oh, this is what's happening. I didn't know what was going on in the depths of my being. I had the sense something is taking place. Now I realize, then the Lord makes this a living word. Yes, I'm making you a pillar. Cooperate with me. Open your being to me. Respond to me. I want to do it now. I want to do this in you I want the bride to make herself ready. I want you to become the New Jerusalem experientially. So I have something real in a corporate way to come back for. For the overcomer to be a pillar in the temple means that he will be a pillar in the triune God. This involves being mingled with the triune God and constituted with the triune God. This is a normal daily experience. We'll see when we come to the final end, the unique way for all of us. If we just realize what the Lord wants to do in us every day is to work Himself into us, build Himself into us, dispense Himself into us, grow in us, transform us, build us up together. Because it's life, it's gradual, day by day. But if we would cooperate with the Lord's inward working from now until the December training, and many of us could come together here, maybe 500 or 1,000 more, we see one another, you just have the sense, I recognize you, good to see you, but your honest feeling is more Christ in you. In the last 5 months, the Lord wants to, this is how He's building, how He's making us a pillar, by working Himself into us in this organic way. The Lord makes us pillars by transforming us. So that is by carrying away our natural element and replacing it with the divine element. So this is what is taking place, and we'll bring this together in about 20 minutes. You'll see that a transformation is taking place. Little by little, day by day, the Lord is touching something, some aspect of our natural constitution. And simultaneously, He touches it, removes it, and replaces it with Himself. This is a genuine experience, day by day. And it takes place in a very particular way, as I'm eager to explain, but I don't want to rush ahead of time. One, the meaning of make in Revelation 3:12 is to constitute us into something, to construct us in a creative way. So this is the Lord's central work, His inner work, to saturate, permeate, and constitute us with the processed and consummated triune God. Just to realize this and just have a simple prayer. It may be while you're in the shower. You say, Lord, I give you today. I open my vessel to you. Please continue to build yourself into me today. Amen. Then you put your head on the pillow at night. And guess what? You won't have to turn the light off at 10:30 anymore. Maybe 10:40. But the Lord may just give you the sense this was not a wasted day. This was a God-dispensing day, and there's a little more Christ in you. This is actually happening. It's actually taking place right now. I just have this sense right now. It is happening. In the church life today, the Lord desires to make us, constitute us, into pillars in the temple of God. He desires this. This is what's on his heart. And this desire includes you. He wants to build himself into you. He wants to make you an unmovable pillar. He wants to build you into the processed and consummated triune God. To be built into him, that will be the real temple. He loves you. He died for you. He redeemed you for this. He brought you into his recovery for this. He led you to this training for this. He only needs your cooperation day by day. Just say, Lord, thank you for this new day. Just continue your dispensing, your transforming, your building up. Lord, just do whatever you need to do. Give me the experiences I need to have. My life is in your hands. But for the building up of the body of Christ, the bride making herself ready, the one new man being manifested, for the benefit of your corporate expression, build yourself up in me for that. And a lot is going to happen. And I say again, repeatedly, I know it's repeated. If you may be 77, or like some of us that are in another stage, 80 plus, it's not too late. It's only too late for the enemy. He's bound for the lake of fire. It's not too late for you, and you're not too young. It's not too soon for you. And I really believe that all of you that have just graduated, you have entered into the third stage of the experience of life, the stage of the cross applied to your inner being, your flesh, yourself, your natural constitution. And within a rather brief period of time, because this was made known to you now, and you're responding now, before too many years go by, you're going to be in the stage of maturity. How long did it take you when you were a boy, 12, you were really a boy, until you no longer thought of yourself as a boy? You're a man. And look at you. You're all men. You're not boys. Did it take 79 years? What, maybe 12, 13 years? Let's just cry out to the Lord. We just want to be normal. Amen. Cause all of us to grow in a normal way. Amen. Now, section 4. Upon the one in the recovered church who overcomes, the Lord Jesus will write the name of his God, the name of the city of God, and the new Jerusalem, and his new name. So I want to focus at first on writing the name of his God. So just be ready for this, because there's no criticism here. There's just an observation. You know, last night you began to see and realize you have the right to participate in God's divinity, and there's a lot of an understandable, just a happy response. But what is my loving concern and my burden based upon that is participating. And so just for a little teeny bit, I just ask you a question, knowing that you can't answer it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. What aspect of God's divinity did you participate in today? When it becomes experiential, what we are experiencing eventually will come to our awareness. And so, dear ones, in order to become the New Jerusalem, we must participate in God's divinity. Let's just say life. To participate in God's life and its characteristics, God's nature, God's being. But let's just use an example, something simple. I have the right to partake of life, the tree of life. Yes. But it's one thing to say to the enemy, get out of my way. I have the right to the tree of life. But that's not the way we speak to the Lord. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they who wash their robes. They have the right to the tree of life and to enter into the city. So this is just a procedure. The Lord in His shepherding care for you will let you know. Yes, I know I have the right to the tree of life. And I have the right to all the other aspects. But I have to realize, before I can claim this right, I need to just follow the Lord's leading and His shining to clear up anything that I've been, that I thought, that I felt, that I said, that I did, that interfered. Now, the way is open. Because the way to the tree of life, it required the death of Christ on the cross. And so, I'm going to say this very carefully, that we had last night, as it was meant to be, an introduction to participating in God's divinity. But and don't send me a text. Don't ask me anything about what I'm about to say. Just, I think I have the leading in a conference this year, somewhere on the earth, not in the United States, to have the whole conference on these 10 points of participating in God's divinity. But you don't rely on that. Just come to the Lord and say, Lord, just enlighten me, train me, enable me to learn to do this. We will learn personally. We will learn together. We will encourage one another. We're all in this journey together. So I'm going to read points A, B, C, D, make a few more comments, and then we'll have the closing word. The fact that the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the Lord's new name are written upon the overcomer indicates that the overcomer is possessed by God, by the New Jerusalem, and by the Lord, that God Himself, His city, New Jerusalem, and the Lord Himself all belong to Him, that is you, and that He is one with God, with the New Jerusalem, and with the Lord. The name of God denotes God Himself. The name of the New Jerusalem denotes the city itself. And the name of the Lord denotes the Lord Himself. That the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the name of the Lord are written on the overcomer indicates that what God is, the nature of the New Jerusalem, and the person of the Lord have all been wrought into the overcomer. They've all been worked into your being. This is what we want to seek for. This is what we want to pray for. The mentioning of the New Jerusalem as a prize to the overcomer indicates that this promise will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. The New Jerusalem in the millennium will be a prize only to the overcomers. And so, writing the name, what is that experientially? It refers to the Lord's central work. And His central work is to build Himself into us. This is His central work. So He's not just putting these names on you with no radical change in your being. Eventually, when the name is there to see, it will be a designation of what you are, of what you have become. This has actually been taking place in you. You have been actually becoming God in life, in nature, in expression, not in the Godhead, as we all know. It's actually happening. You don't have to say anything because it's inscribed into you. And those who have been on this journey ahead of you, they'll realize immediately. They can just read what's on your heart instantaneously. Wow. You may not say anything. You've really been an open vessel. And I know the price you paid for this to take place. But you held nothing back. And I can tell you're happier now than you've ever been of what is taking place in the core of your being. Then to realize the name of the New Jerusalem, that's because you have become part of the New Jerusalem already. That means you're part of the bride. You're part of the bride who is making herself ready. And so as soon as that moment comes for the rapture of the living overcomers, you will be the one taken, not the one left. Because the constituent has been changed. And now more and more, you are living one spirit with the Lord. He's been building Himself into you. And now the Lord's new name. So many aspects of what He is. Now, we come to this concluding portion. And that is, this I had to learn from the Word, from the ministry, and from experience. So this is what the Lord wants to do. We're like just wood, but He's going to petrify the wood. And we know a little bit, I know a tiny bit, that there is this wood, but the water keeps flowing through it. And it removes the elements and then replaces it with stone. Well, we need to realize that the way for the Lord to make us a pillar in the temple of God, the triune God, to make us God, the New Jerusalem, Christ with His new name, it's just this one thing, that you allow the river of water of life to flow to you, through you, and out from you all the time. This is the unique way for all of us. It's the river flowing, remaining, flowing again and again. And so we remain in the flow of life. And if you just have the sense, even now, if you never had this sense before, then just ask the Lord, because you have to know by the inner sense, Lord, I'm an open vessel. I want to be transformed. I want to be built up. And Lord, you're making it clear the only way you're transforming us is by flowing through us with the flow of life. Now I see it. I realize this includes me too. And now I'm giving myself to you in a fresh way. I'm just turning to you and opening to you, Lord, that here I am. I'm not going to analyze myself. I'm just like this natural wood. But I know your goal is to make me the same as you are, to build yourself into me, to make me part of the New Jerusalem. And your way is just to be the river of life flowing into me. I'm open. Through me, flow wherever you want, then flow out. And while something natural, something fallen, is being taken away, it's being replaced by yourself. And I read in a message somewhere this prayer. This is from Brother Lee, so I'm reading this prayer. Lord, flow through me and carry away all my natural being and replace it with yourself. Such a simple prayer. Lord, today I consecrate this day to you. Lord, make this a flow of life day. I'm not asking you just to kind of make me a better person, to have this position adjusted, whatever. That is kind of self-improvement. You want to make me another kind of species, another being. You want to make me part of your bride, your wife. You want to make me part of the New Jerusalem. You want to do it now and here. I just thank you for your mercy, your loving concern, that you would want to work this out in someone like me. But Lord, day by day, now I see the simplicity of it. I just turn to you, turn my heart, exercise my spirit, apply the power of your precious blood. Apply you as the reality of all the offerings to clear up anything that has to be cleared up. And now I'm pursuing you in love. I'm an open vessel. I want to be part of the bride. I want to grow to maturity. I want to reign in life. I want to live in a divine and human incorporation. Just let him flow. Amen. And so how we're going to end this part of the meeting is this. Instead of just praying one by one with someone nearby, I would ask you to pray, sing. I can't tell you too much, but I can tell you this. After a very rigorous aspect of my full-time serving in Anaheim, when I was really in a learner stage. And I was asked to do it, and I had no choice, but the Lord was there. And as I was driving home, going on Euclid, just over the bridge, over the freeway, a song came from my spirit within. Flows a fountain of life, the triune God flowing in me. God the Father, the source, Christ the Son is the course, and the Spirit imparts life to me. And I wonder, Lord, why would you lead me to have this song with this hymn on the New Jerusalem? Then eventually I found out, and he's saying, Ron, I want you all to know the way you will become the New Jerusalem is for me to flow in you continuously. And so let's sing this all together one time. This will be our prayer. And then, dear of our fellow co-workers, Brother Bob will make everything clear. We'll give some confirming words. What comes after that, I don't know exactly. The only thing I know for sure is that the river of water of life is going to be flowing forever. So just stay seated and just sing it to the Lord as your prayer.